I ask, when that light comes on, is that for 1 minute?
When the yellow light comes on, that's when your rebuttal time is starting. I will try to remind you, but technically it is your responsibility to go, I'm in my rebuttal time, I want to save my minute.
I see.
All right.
Thank you.
You may begin whenever you're ready.
Okay. Your Honor, this is an appeal from the decision of the Virginia Beach Circuit Court sustaining the State Review Boards and City's demurs and dismissing appellant's petition to appeal the mootness decision of the board in appellant's building code case. The review board and city argue in their brief to this court that the circuit court's decision sustaining the demurs was not based on there being sufficient facts in the record to support the review board's findings of mootness.
Ms. Owens, and of course you've lived this far more than we have, so we've tried to read the entire administrative record, but I have a couple questions to make sure I understand kind of where things were at each stage.
Yes, Your Honor.
When you took your complaint to the local board that kind of kicked off the litigation part of this, you asserted three errors, as best I understand it, that the local officials erred when, after you requested an on-site inspection of the work done at your condo by Bill Peters, Inc., that was the first thing you asked for. The second was that they erred when they refused to revoke the passing inspection that had been granted regarding that work. And the third was that they had erred by refusing to cite Bill Peters, Inc. Were those the three things that you asked for?
Those were the three refusals that I highlighted, yes, Your Honor.
Right.
And then in the appeal, I referred to the fundamentals of the appeal, which included some underlying issues.
Right. By the time we get to the state review board proceeding, it appears that my read of the record is that everybody agrees that a couple things had happened. That at the time of the state review board hearing, you had taken down whatever work Bill Peters, Inc. had done. You had and had essentially redone it with another contractor.
That's correct.
So at the time of the state review board hearing, there was nothing for, if they agreed with you that you should have been granted an on-site inspection, there was no longer a project that had kicked off this litigation, the case decision, there was nothing to be inspected. There was no more work by Bill Peters, Inc. that could be subject to an on-site inspection.
That is correct.
And there was, so effectively, there was no passing inspection, no work left that could be subject to a passing or failing inspection. So is that correct?
You mean the revocation of a passing inspection?
Right, right. I mean, there was nothing, there was no project for which they could revoke the inspection or pass the inspection. There was nothing left to inspect.
Well, there was nothing left to inspect, Your Honor, but the permit was still in the record noting a passing inspection. And at the hearing for the review board, the city decided that they would do those things because the work was defective.
Okay. At what harm do you suffer, continuing harm do you suffer, by leaving a passing inspection in place for a piece of work that no longer exists?
Well, I mean, I think it has to do with the appeal process before this court. I'm alleging that mootness didn't attach to begin with for two reasons. One, because the proffered relief that was given in exchange for the mootness dismissal did not occur. It was incomplete and indefinite at the time it was giving, and then in fact it wasn't permanent if it occurred at all, some of it. And I'm also arguing, of course, that mootness applies, that mootness exceptions rather apply, because mootness is inapplicable due to the underlying issues which I also am asserting were properly on appeal before the Technical Review Board.
But as far as any type of inspection or permitting regarding the initial project, it's impossible for anything to be done with that has any effect on you regarding the project. The project doesn't exist anymore, correct?
Correct. If you're asking if they were to revoke the passing inspection, or the contractor, citing the contractor, the statute of limitations has already run on that anyway.
Well, and my question was, at the State Technical Review Board hearing, there was some back and forth and it seemed to be some confusion. At one point, it appeared to me you withdrew your request that he be cited because they had informed you that before they cited him, they would note a violation and he would be given a cure period, and you didn't want that. Do I have that right? It's at page 408 of the appendix.
If what you're referring to is that they said that I could take that to the Building Code of Appeals if I didn't like the citation, I argued, I believe, that the matter was before the local Building Code Board of Appeals and that they had issued a final determination in the matter, and so I didn't think that was proper. I thought it should have been heard by the Technical Review Board.
Understanding that that's kind of the factual underpinning of where we are, my understanding of the big issue that's driving this is you did not, you believe that the city's practice that they did in this case of allowing a third-party inspection based on photographs is in violation of code or regulation. Is that
correct? And not just the third-party inspection report, the approval of that without required review, but also, yes, the photo inspections by the third-party inspector and the city.
And in, at the State Technical Review Board, you said the reason you were pursuing this is you may do a project in the future or somebody else may do a project in the future and they shouldn't be subjected to this same flawed process.
That's correct. Well, we were and still are having work done. That is correct.
All right. Given that, though, the individual project that is the basis of the case decision that entitles you to appeal no longer exists, how are you situated any differently regarding that issue than anybody else in Virginia Beach who may want to do a project in the future?
Well, I argued under the capable of repetition yet evading review doctrine that, and I believe those issues were properly before the Technical Review Board.
Well, that goes to mootness, but this is more of a standing question. This is whether you are situated any differently than any other citizen in Virginia Beach, given that the project, obviously while you have the project going on and they're ruling about things related to the project, you're different than everybody else. You have a ruling on a project that is ongoing, that exists, even if it's completed, but not completed to your satisfaction, it still exists. I'm not faulting you for your decision to tear it down and have it built the way you want it to be built. That makes perfect sense. But the question is, does that then render you no different than anybody else in Virginia Beach who may want to build something in the future? I know you're a lawyer by training. The concept that courts don't render advisory opinions, what's the current case or controversy, to use the federal language, although it's not in the Virginia Constitution, what's the current case or controversy regarding this policy where you are different than just a citizen?
Well, the fact that these were unlawful applications of the building code, and I was before the Technical Review Board on those unlawful applications, I'm asserting that appellants had a right to be heard on those, whether it's an adjudication in the form of an order or an interpretation. That is what was asked for, because those wrongful applications of the code actually did happen in my case, and they could happen again, not with respect to the same roof, but I don't think that the capable of repetition yet evading review doctrine means that it has to be the exact same work.
Well, that goes to mootness. And I understand why you're focused on that, because that was the ruling below, but we have an obligation to make sure that you have standing. And standing in this case means that you are adversely affected, you're an aggrieved party by the decision. But if the decision relates to the project and the project no longer exists, I'm trying to figure out how you're aggrieved. I understand your argument about what may happen in the future, but that makes you no different than any citizen in Virginia Beach who may do a project in the future. And so that doesn't make that in and of itself doesn't make you a party aggrieved.
Well, under the Administrative Process Act, it affords parties the right to a review of an agency decision, including agency action unlawfully and arbitrarily withheld. Now, I'm saying that they withheld a resolution of the photo inspection and third-party issues. So I think appellants had a right under the APA to have that heard and to have a resolution of that. And if the resolution was that it was moot, then the mootness doctrine kicks in. But also, the board's decision, the APA requires that it states its findings, conclusions, and rationale upon the evidence in the record. And it didn't do that either. So as far as I'm concerned, the decision did not comply with the APA's requirements. But I'm not sure I'm understanding the standing issue. Are we talking about ripeness?
No.
We're talking about standing.
Standing is in this instance is that unlike just, we don't allow citizen suits essentially. You have to have an actual stake in the outcome, a concrete stake.
Well, the stake, I mean, in the outcome is, I mean, it's not hypothetical. It's based on my plans to do further work on the house and the fact that the work is ongoing.
Well, and if you filed an application and they took some action, or filed plans and they took some action regarding that you found that wasn't consistent mm-hmm. with the law, then you could raise that. But right now it is hypothetical, isn't it?
Well, I don't think so. The same has to do with the case that I cited, the Virginia Broadcasting case, where the journalist was denied access to a court file. She wanted access to the court file, or he wanted access to the court file before the trial happened, and was denied access. There was some sort of order. The clerk wouldn't hand over the documents. And the trial came and went, and then he was allowed to see, the journalist was allowed to see the file. Well, the court ruled that even if, and there's other case law that I have here about underlying mootness, if what was on before the tribunal is moot, that doesn't mean that the underlying issues are necessarily mooted as well. And the court in Virginia Broadcasting held that because the journalist could reasonably be seen to seek that same type of conduct in the future, seeking the contents of a file before the trial occurs and so on, that mootness was inapplicable. And so it was prospective, of course, the harm that this journalist was going to suffer, but it was the same type of harm.
Well, except the journalist had requested to see the items and still was requesting to see the items, which he hadn't been allowed to see. You've asked for a resolution of a permitting project for a project that no longer exists.
But the journalist asked for contents of a file that before the trial occurred, and the trial had passed, and that's why the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office said that the matter was moved.
Are you familiar of any legal authority in Virginia that allows a citizen to go through the APA process to get a prospective answer to interpretation of what is required by the code?
Well, under the Strawbridge versus County of Chesterfield case, and I believe this court decided that case, the review board actually did order prospective relief in that case. They ordered that the building official in the County of Chesterfield the technical review board ordered that the building official in Chesterfield could not bar a third-party engineer from doing inspections in the future.
But didn't Strawbridge have to do with ongoing harm? And here there's no ongoing harm if the project is completed.
Well, I don't see how it differs with the Virginia Broadcasting case, because the ongoing harm for that particular file being opened, the journalist wanted that file so that she could report on that case before the trial. And the court went into detail about how it was important for her to be reporting that information before the trial took place. And all I'm saying here is that, and without this, without considering this, I don't see how, if this were to happen again, and the building official decides to keep engaging in this process because she's allowed to do so, and because there's no resolution of the matter, if I go back to the technical review board, I don't see how I can get any relief. They're not going to adjudicate these things. They'll just pull the rug out from under it and say, well, we'll revoke the passing inspection, we'll revoke the permit, and we'll forget about your claims of this unlawful practice.
You can use your time any way you want, but you are in your rebuttal time if you want to save some.
Okay. Does the court have any more questions?
Not
in
right
that regard?
Now.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Bell?
I know I explained that I'd be doing all the talking today, but a counterpart from Virginia Beach has indicated he like to take some of the time, so I'm only going to take about 12 minutes.
All right. Your Honor, I was just going to listen to Mr. Bell and add anything I thought today.
Well, we're just going to start the clock and y'all tag team in and out as one tag, but both of you can talk, but you're still limited to the 15 minutes.
I understand.
All right, once he gets back to council table, Mr. Bell, whenever you are ready.
Good morning, Justin Bell, Attorney General's office here from here on behalf of the TRB, a technical review board. I was calling the TRB, so I'll use the same acronym today. I'm asking you again to dismiss this appeal because there was no error made at the circuit court level. Circuit court.
Would that be a dismissal or would that be an affirmance?
I guess I'm asking you to dismiss the appeal but affirm the lower decision.
Okay.
There's no error here, and I think that the line of questioning earlier indicates that the issues in question, particular issues, might be aggrievement and standing and prospective harm. So I'll start with the aggrievement portion of it. Strawbridge, which is actually another TRB case, is about prospective harm. It's distinguishable from the facts in this particular case. In Strawbridge, you had a declaration from the locality, Chesterfield, that said, for this gentleman going forward, we will not take any of his business. We will not allow him to practice his business. Aside from that probably being outside of the power of the local building official, that's a prospective harm. That affects him from that moment going forward. And that position was maintained all the way through the appeals process. That was not dropped by Chesterfield.
Well, it's not prospective harm. It's active and ongoing harm. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. It's already happened. And it's continuing to happen.
Your Honor, I would agree. That's not the case here. For the harm here has already been resolved in the prospective relief. We're talking about hypotheticals. We are talking about things that have to happen in order for someone to become aggrieved again. Someone like, even someone like the appellants here. For someone to be in the same position as the appellants were in at the time of the appeal to the TRB, you have to have a third-party inspection report, not an inspection done by the locality. The report, this is according to the letter, the writings of the appellants, the report would never state that any of the contractor's work complied with the building code. His report would not indicate the compliance of the applicable provisions of the code had been met as required by the building code. And I'm going to go one step further and go back to what the city says. The city says that they're going to accept any engineer's report that has ethics and practice and seals this information to me as a third party. This report didn't even have a seal on it. So all four things have to go wrong for someone to be in this position again. And I'll add a fifth. The appellants or anyone else has to have work done and allow the contractor to use an inspector rather than hire an inspector that would do an on-site report, not a report by photographs.
We are, of course, limited to the administrative record, and so there may not be an answer to my question in the record, and that would be fair. But Ms. Owens says that at the TRB hearing, the state hearing, certain representations were made by the city regarding citing the builder, withdrawing, revoking the passing inspection. Setting aside whether that would have any impact on the project because the project doesn't exist. Setting that aside. But that representation was made. It appears that something akin to it was made. Do you agree that that actually happened?
Yes, Your Honor, I would.
Okay. Ms. Owens complains, and it seems to me, if she's right, although we're once again getting probably far afield from the administrative record, that representation was made, she expected it to be done, and she contends it wasn't done. If I were a citizen in that circumstance, that would upset me greatly. Has it been done? Has the city followed through? And maybe it's a more appropriate question for your co-counsel, but Is what the city represented it was going to do that at least in part seems to have colored what the State Technical Review Board did? Did they follow through on what they said they were going to do?
I understand that that has happened. I will leave Tobias, Mr. Eisenhower from Virginia Beach, to answer the specifics, but I understand that performance of that has happened.
Okay.
And I know that some of it, at least the citation portion of it, probably does require, you're not actually cited until you receive the citation, but the decision to revoke an inspection, I mean, the decision of the building official saying, I am no longer accepting this, I'm accepting that, that doesn't require formality. I mean, that this you'll formally certify it in a written piece of in a document, but the building official saying this is not good enough anymore, that's probably okay. I think I'll go back to the earlier parts of what my brief talked about, and I mean, the appellants asked for those three items. If we were to take the city of Virginia Beach and their representations at face value, that is, if it's a reasonable person would listen to a city official say we are going to do A, B, and C, unless there's some reason to call it, to doubt that, that's evidence that the items that the appellants asked for, the city performing on-site inspection, which is now impossible because the work no longer exists, the revocation of the inspection work, and the citation of the contractor. If a city official says, we're going to do all these things, like maybe we have performed one or two of these already just by saying we're going to do it, what else was there for the TRB or the circuit court to do?
For the contractor to be cited, if that's some relief that could be granted through the appellate process, obviously we couldn't do it directly. We would have to enter an order, and then the local official would have to carry out the order. Is the contractor a necessary party? Because he doesn't seem to be here.
I don't think he is a necessary party. I think he probably could. Sometimes the contractors do show up to these hearings, to the TRB hearings, and at the circuit court level, but they don't always.
At a TRB hearing, can a contractor be cited, or is that something that is beyond the purview of the Technical Review Board?
I think the TRB probably could order a locality to issue a citation. I'm not sure of their actual power to cite on behalf of the locality. The building code says it gives the enforcement powers to the localities. It gives the appellate powers, the resolution of appeals, to the TRB. So I don't think enforcement's at the state level.
Okay.
What when the appellants filed their petition, they take on the burden to designate and demonstrate an error of law, and that's not the appeal, that's not the petition to circuit court did. It failed to do that. It doesn't actually challenge the holding of the case. I'm going to look at, I'm going to read a piece from an excerpt from Johnson v. Willis, one of his seminal APA cases. It talks about one of the categories of error is limited to a determination of whether there is substantial evidence in the agency record to support the decision. The decision of the TRB is on that final page.
The misapplication of the statute or the ignoring of a statutory requirement would be an error of law that's subject to review under the APA, isn't it? It's not purely, we're not talking about, as I understand her argument, it's not an argument about a factual problem. It's that the code does not allow for Virginia Beach to handle third-party inspections the way it did. Setting aside whether that's right or wrong, that's a legal question, isn't it? And that's subject to APA review.
I think that is true. However, if you read the actual text of her appeal, it does talk about how the record lacks, she says that the record lacks the necessary evidence to support the conclusions, particularly laid out in the first item of error, the first assignment of error. So at least in the first assignment of error, that is, at least in part, for the most part, overwhelmingly, a question of fact, not a question of law.
Well, and there are multiple errors assigned, and there are multiple arguments. But if even one of them is a live legal issue, then it would have been error to dismiss it as moot, correct?
I'm not sure that's... Perhaps under some theoretical construct, maybe it is some kind of error to leave a question unanswered, but then you're getting into the realm of you're issuing an opinion about just a point. You're not resolving a case anymore. And that's all that agencies can do under the APA is resolve cases. Some agencies have additional powers, and even the TRB's interpretive power, it is not used when cases are still live. So if the case is live, the only option you have is a case, is a resolution of a case, but there's nothing to
do.
Well,
separate from issuing some sort of guidance opinion as to what a requirement is, which I understand the agency does, if during the resolution of a case they are required to interpret a requirement to determine whether it was complied with or not, whether the local building official behaved appropriately, they engage in that type of interpretation all the time, don't they, in resolving cases? I mean, definitionally, you almost have to.
I would agree, Your Honor. I would agree, but I don't. Even in that case, I'm not sure that the question is actually still live, one. And two, I don't think it does what she's asking for it to do. I don't think it prevents someone, even herself, from entering the same realm of harm, either current or prospective. The review would be either Virginia Beach got it right or wrong, and that's pretty much it. It wouldn't be an exhaustive explanation of here's every possible permutation of... The building code is administered locally, so there's a pretty high level of variance, and you only really get that review when you come to the state. It's a fairly hands-off from the state sort of application interpretation. So when you come up to the TRB, the opinions are usually fairly narrow, so you're not going to get on the back end of this case, if the TRB said we're going to rule on this, you might get something that just says they were right to do this, they were wrong to do this. It wouldn't stop them in the next case from this happening again, or some other variation. I mean, I read off five different variables. Any of those variables can be changed, and you could still be back here for basically the same type of offense. So really, even if you got your opinion from the TRB, I'm not really sure it would do anything for you.
If you're going to leave the city any time, you're getting close to the end.
Yeah, I think I have to. You know, I think I probably have to run up it. I'll be happy with it. But again, I'm going to ask you to uphold the circuit court's decision and dismiss the appeal. Thank you.
No actual tag?
Yeah, it's just the hot tag.
Morning, Honor.
Based on the circuit court. I just would like to concur with Mr. Bell and then ask you to uphold the decision of the circuit court. I think what we had here is a case that was moot on its face. Whether or not the city had done the things that we had represented we did in front of the technical review board, we had three questions that Ms. Owens had asked us to do. She asked us to issue a citation to a contractor, she asked us to revoke a passing inspection, and she asked us to revoke a permit. The two issues related to the construction work obviously are moot because that construction work doesn't exist anymore. It's been replaced by a different contractor hired by Ms. Owens. The issue of citing the contractor, that's a two-tiered process. The first step of that is issuing a notice of violation. That is not something that is legally binding on a contractor. It just states you have 30 days to resolve this issue. Otherwise, we're going to prosecute you under the building code.
Where in the code is there a requirement that the contractor be given a 30-day cure period?
It's in the Virginia Maintenance Code and the Virginia Building Code. It states you issue a notice of violation. It gives notice, puts them on notice of what's wrong, and states that if they haven't fixed it within a certain period of time, we'll cite them. I do have to disagree with Mr. Bell on one point. Nobody can order the city to prosecute a contractor for this. We have discretion for who to decide. It's a power that's been delegated to us by the Commonwealth's attorney to prosecute matters that arise in the building code. The administrative agency would not have the power to order us to file misdemeanor charges against a contractor in Virginia Beach. We did issue a notice of violation to the contractor. It was fairly toothless because obviously that work doesn't exist anymore. There's nothing for the contractor to do there. By the time we got to the circuit court, these are the issues.
Can you give me the actual site of the provision of the code that requires the notice of violation?
I can't off the top of my head, Your Honor, unfortunately. It's early on in the Virginia Maintenance Code. It's just under the appeals provision. The was nothing that the contractor could possibly do to resolve the issue. So once that 30-day period expired, our city's attitude was, there is no ongoing violation here. We're going to dismiss the notice of violation. We're not going to prosecute them, and we can't be forced to prosecute them. Because the work no longer existed, there was no harm that Ms. Owens was facing when she got to the circuit court. They properly dismissed it as moot because there was no ongoing harm that she was suffering. When Ms. Owens talks about the mootness doctrine and how it applies to this matter, the capable of repetition but evading review is an out for mootness when someone is unable to present an ongoing harm, and usually they have to be in a special situation for that to happen. An example of that would be in cases involving abortion that go high up in the court. A woman has a difficult time being the right plaintiff for that because obviously pregnancy only lasts 9 months. Eventually, it's not the same harm you had brought in front of the court before, but it is capable of repetition. So in these special cases, you can use that exception. But do I have to stop right now?
Finish your thought.
Finishing my thought, another example was a man, a famous mootness case, who suffered a chokehold from the police department, and he sued because he said city practice states that this is an acceptable practice, so I am a potential prospective victim. And what the Supreme Court ended up saying was, you can't prove that you are specially situated to undergo that specific harm again. So you are not the right plaintiff to say this is capable of repetition but evading review. That's all I'll say, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you for your argument. Ms. Owens, I gave them 25 seconds extra, so adding to the...
I found a case on standing, if that's all right.
You've got a minute.
Okay.
You've got the minute you requested.
There's another case, Fairfax County versus Southland Corporation, 224 Virginia 514, 1982 case, that held that the plaintiff had standing to seek relief challenging the constitutionality of an ordinance because he was engaged in a business that would likely subject him to the ordinance in the future. Also, Your Honor, the building code is a public safety law, and the appellants are members of the public, and it is meant, of course, in part to protect the inspection integrity of the inspection process, obviously. And as far as the Virginia Maintenance Code, this case didn't fall under the Virginia Maintenance Code. It was a construction code. And under 36-106, a violation is not extinguished. Because the work has been remediated, either by the contractor or another contractor. A violation is a violation. It's a separate offense from remediation. And that's all I have.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
We'll come down and greet counsel.